It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law, and I'm here with Michelle Lobato. Hey, Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You came late this morning. You know how I do not like lateness. You were not a minute early. You were 10 minutes late.
I was so stressed out at Starbucks. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe.
You get stressed out? I want to tell you something. What do you think the most important thing in life is?
That's a loaded question. Maybe spirituality.
How about relationships?
Relationships are a big one, yeah.
A big one? It's everything. Whether it's
everything,
in
yeah.
business, in marriage, in a partnership, social, friends, all of that. And I'll tell you something. I do want to give you a compliment because I don't always
compliment you.
I say, you know, the newer generation, I get choked up about that, couldn't care less about being on time and being early. And, you know, you live that soft life because that's who you are. But I'll tell you one thing. You are good at relationships. I think that you have an ability to relate well to others.
Thank you. Yeah.
And
I do.
I don't know if that comes from experience because obviously you haven't had as much life experience as some of us have.
Well, I wouldn't know how great I am at relationships given that I'm not married yet. And I'd like to be so.
But you've had.
But I have very meaningful platonic relationships. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you've had all. And they're not only platonic, you've had sexual relationships too.
Yes, I have.
Okay, I just want to make sure, check the box. So let's talk a little bit today about how important relationships are. I think that's probably the most important thing for a fulfilling and successful life. And I want to introduce the guest that we are very honored and privileged to have with us today. Terry Real is a renowned therapist known throughout the world. He's highly sought after, a family psychotherapist, an author, and a speaker. He's been featured on Oprah, Today Show, CNN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and a host of other media outlets. He's the founder of Relational Life Therapy, or RLT, a progressive therapeutic approach that emphasizes practical skills to break toxic relationship patterns, toxic being the key word there. He's often called the turnaround guy who has the ability to change people's lives, especially couples having relationship problems. So I think that's really important because a lot of people don't think things can turn around. Mm-hmm. He is a best-selling author, has written several very popular books, including his most recent New York Times bestseller, Us, Getting Past You and Me to Build a More Loving Relationship, as well as I Don't Want to Talk About It, about male depression, which was, I think, one of his first books that was a big seller, and The New Rules of Marriage. I didn't know there were new rules, but, you know, I guess they are different from my parents. He has received glowing testimonials from so many, including Gwyneth Paltrow, Bradley Cooper, and Bruce Springsteen, who sings his praises. Do you like that, Bruce Springsteen,
yeah.
singing his praises? His clients, a lot of celebrities and athletes, they pay a king's ransom for a session with him. And I will tell you, we are so honored today to have Terry Real with us. Welcome to Gervie's Law, Terry.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you. Now, I want to tell you about two experiences in my life that stand out. When I think back on life experiences, I remember two experiences involving two men who I truly admire and respect, or admired and respect. They're no longer with us. One was my father, a very rational, stoic man, the kind of person everyone would sit quietly waiting to hear his opinions. And I remember years ago when I was young, sitting at a kitchen table talking about a girlfriend, and he looked at me, he put his head down and said, "She could change, but I don't think she will." And then later, several years later, my former boss, who has also unfortunately passed away, was interfering with my social life. And he said, Terry, he said, shaking his head, I just don't think she has the tools. She doesn't have the tools. Those two experiences have lived with me. So now having the relationship expert, world-renowned, Terry, I've got to ask you. I think you know where this is going. Did my dad and my former boss know something that would prevent you and other therapists from being successful in trying to turn people around and create loving relationships that are successful and, of course, beneficial to both?
Well, yeah. I mean, the obvious answer is I have had two people who both want to do it. So if one of you wants to work on things and the other one doesn't, then there's only so much I can do. Are you in a relationship now?
I'm married. So I guess we call that a relationship. But again, you know, I think you dodged the question because I want to hear from you because I listen to the Mel Robbins podcast. What an amazing podcast. If anyone has not listened to that, that's a life-changing experience listening to Mel Robbins talking to Terry Real. But I want to say that when we talk about tools, if someone doesn't have the tools, don't all your theories get kind of become questionable and become very difficult?
Look, first of all, virtually none of us have the tools in this culture. We have never wanted more from our love relationships than we do now. We really want to be lifelong, intimate lovers, heart-to-heart, great sex. But marriage was never built for that. Side by side, companionable, stable, good enough. We've raised the bar, but we do not live in it. Our culture gives lip service to romance, but I would like relationship skills taught in elementary school and junior high. And we don't teach our kids. There is a sophisticated skill set, how to stand up for yourself and be loving. How to, here's a simple one. Ready?
Yeah.
An apology. I have to teach people this. You're right. I get tons of money for this. Ready? You want to say you're sorry? Yes, I did it. I'm sorry. That's it. Not, yes, I did it. I'm sorry, but you. Yes, I did it. I'm sorry, but you have to understand. Yes, I did it, but not that. No. How about, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm sure that didn't feel good to you. Do you want to say more? Who knows how to do that? Who's been taught to do that? You probably didn't see it in your family. You certainly don't see it in the culture at large. So I talk about relationship technology. I've got about six basic skills that everybody has to learn. I had to learn it because we just didn't know how to make repair. Here's another one. When the wheels go off and your partner's upset with you and you want to move into repair with you're married to a gal, I take it?
Yes, as far as okay. I know.
So your wife is unhappy with you.
Always.
that one day a year. And she wants to confront you about it. Guess what? It's not dialogue. Everybody gets this wrong. It's not a conversation. You don't listen to her and go, well, you're upset with me about this. Well, I'm upset with you about that. That will not lead to repair. Simple school. Repair is a one-way street. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sure you feel bad. That sounds bad. What can I give you to help you feel better? Boom. Who does that? No one. We have to learn. So, you know, your dad, yeah, that girl doesn't have the right... That girl doesn't have the tools. Okay. None of us do. We have to learn them. That's the business I'm in.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense.
Going Michelle. To ask, you're married, correct, to a psychologist, a therapist?
Therapist.
Yeah, we're both therapists, my wife and I. 40 years we've been married.
Wow. So you...
Best 5 years of my life, I like to say.
Wow.
Wow. So you guys must have it made in terms of having a healthy, happy relationship. What would you advise someone like me who's seeking that?
Well, I have advice for young hetero women looking for guys. Ready? Don't look for the perfect guy. Look for a guy who's good-hearted and is educable. Don't you teach him. Drag him. Go to my website, terrywheel.com. I've got courses for the general public on how to have healthy boundaries, how to have a healthy relationship with yourself, the essential skills of getting what you want in your relationship. Learn. Get a guy who's good-hearted and a nice person, and then the two of you take a course or two on base relationship skills. Don't you try and teach him. You're not his coach. He won't like that.
I know.
But both of you learn together because it's worth the investment.
I know you had started in focusing on male psychology. Have you recently heard about the manosphere and what young men are being taught today? What are your thoughts on that?
It's horrible. And, you know, somebody described my work once as women have had a revolution and now men have to deal with it. Women have had a revolution, and women across the West are insisting on more connection and emotional sharing with guys than we raise boys and men to do. We don't raise boys and men under patriarchy, which is still alive and well. We don't raise them to be intimate. We raise them to be strong and vulnerable. You know, one of the things I say to the guys in my office is, the things you learned as a boy about what makes a good, strong man, by today's standards, will ensure you'll be a lousy husband. Let me teach you how to do this. Drop your armor, drop your invulnerability, open your heart, get in touch with a few feelings, be compassionate to your partner. Let me teach you how to do this. I talk straight to men, and they all hear it. Men aren't stupid. Okay, sure, teach me. It'll work better. And it does.
What about men or women, for that matter, who really need to have work done for themselves to be able to be that vulnerable person, to be able to communicate? Because I think one of the biggest problems that a lot of couples have is communication, and it comes from a place where maybe each individual isn't willing to be the communicator that you're talking about now.
Well, if you're talking about a hetero relationship, odds are it's the woman who wants more and it's the man who shut down. Why? Because traditional masculinity equals invulnerability. The more invulnerable you are, the more manly you are, the more vulnerable you are, the more girly you are, not a good thing. And here you are, now you're married, and your wife is saying to you, open up. Share your feelings. I want to hear from you. No, you don't. So what we're asking of men, we're literally asking men to reconfigure what it means to be masculine. And there's been a big backlash, the manosphere. There's been, you know, there's a camp, alpha male camp. You know, let me go back to the 50s and be a big swinging guy. You know what? That ain't going to work, brother. That genie is not going back in the bottle. I don't want women to back off of their new demands for intimacy. I want men to stand up and learn how to be more intimate. The research is clear. It's better for our marriages. It's better for our children. It's better for our bodies. I say to guys, let me teach you how to be more intimate. You'll live 10 years longer. That's true. That's right. Black light research.
That makes a lot of sense. So many people try to deal with these kind of situations and go to therapists. What is the number one mistake that therapists make when they're in this situation trying to help a couple?
Oh, that's great. I run around the world lecturing therapists saying there's some design flaws. Here's the first one. In the work I've created called Relational Life Therapy, RLT, you can go to my website and find RLT therapists all over the world now. The number one mistake that we're all taught in couples therapy is don't take sides, and particularly don't side with the woman against the man. But everything is 50-50. Okay, you know what? That just strains common sense. I'm literally dealing with a couple The guy was, he had bipolar disorder, manic depression. He was an alcoholic and a rager. Refused to get treatment for any of it. One of my great mentors, Pat Melody, famously turned to a woman in a couple in front of 60, you know, therapists and said to the woman, "You don't need a therapist, you need track shoes." You know what? Not everything is 50-50. So in the work I do and my students do, we will say to you, you're wrong and you're even more wrong. You better listen to her or this is what's going to happen to you. We take sides. And when there's a power imbalance, we throw our weight behind the one down, disempowered one to stand up and speak up. And then we use that as motivation to help the one who's more in the superior, one-up, irresponsible. Come on, come down off your high horse. Let me teach you how to open your heart. You'll feel better.
But Terry, let me ask you this. What about when someone gets defensive? I understand that, and I happen to believe in taking sides. I think it's great, and I don't think a lot of therapists are probably too afraid to do so. But when there's pushback from one side, and they shut down or you know, don't want to continue the therapy because they're hearing something they don't want to hear from the therapist, how do you handle that?
You know, that's the other mistake. All of us therapists are taught to be nice, 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 nice. We're not so nice. We tell you the truth. So, hey, look, you don't want to deal with this. You don't want to hear it from your partner. That's up to you. But let me tell you what's going to happen to you if you don't hear. This is probably what's going to happen to your marriage. This is probably what's going to happen between you and your kids. What kind of father did you have? What kind of father would you like to be? You think you're being that father now? Will you let me help you? There's a decent guy in there. Let me help you out.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, again, you have to have willing participants because we see a lot of dominance in relationships. Something that, you know, people say, oh, they get along well because one dominates the other or because one's stronger than the other. And I know that you've talked about dominance before, but is it really a cancer to a relationship?
Yes. And this is out, this is a black and white research. Egalitarian marriages are happier, last longer, people have less psychiatric symptoms in them. A traditional hierarchical marriage where the man is the boss and the woman is, you know what, one of the things I say, in order to be truly intimate the way we want these days, we have to move beyond traditional gender roles. So men have to open their ears and open their hearts and listen and be nice and responsive. Women, the traditional role for women is accommodation and resentment. That's the tradition. And then maybe if you're a feminist, you now moved over to the masculine side of the polarity and you're empowered, but you're harsh. Loving power is one of the skills we teach. How to stand up for yourself and cherish your partner at the same time. Instead of saying, hey, I don't like how you're saying that. Try this one. Hey, I want to hear what you have to say. Could you change your tone so I could listen to it? Two ways of saying the same thing. But one's about me, 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 me. And one is like, I can stand up for myself and be loving to you in the same breath. We don't know how to do that in this culture. We have to be taught.
But don't we always hear from one or the other when they start a sentence with you, you, you? How do you avoid that from happening, the you, you, you phenomenon?
I want to hear what you have to say. Could you talk about what you're experiencing and what you're feeling? I could hear that a lot better than you being my psychoanalyst. Tell me what's going on with you. I want to hear.
Terry, you had published
I thought he was asking you this question, Michelle.
I was not going to answer that question.
It's a rhetorical.
Not really.
She's not answering, but it's a rhetorical question. Go ahead, Michelle.
I have a question for you, Terry.
she has a question.
So your first book was published in the 90s, right?
Yes.
So is
it
there...
was the first.
Go ahead.
It was the first book ever written about male depression.
Wow.
Before I wrote that book in the 90s, depression was a woman's disease. And I'm really proud. I was one of the first people to say, men don't express depression in the same way that women do. You're missing the boat. So,
Back then, or even today?
Still today. That book, 30 years old, is selling as well as my brand new book. Because it's about men, and it's also about what we do to boys and men in this culture. You know, when we insist that boys disown their emotions, mm-hmm. disown vulnerability, disown weakness, what I wrote 30 years ago is that's trauma. Mm. To insist that, there's research, little boys, if anything, are more emotional than little girls. More sensitive. But by the time a boy is 3, 4, 5 years old, he already knows better than to express those emotions out on the playground. Wow. He still has them, but there's measurable decrease in their willingness to express emotion by 3, 4, 5 years old. That's a wound, and we have to heal from that wound.
And you've progressed on to talking about Us when we're talking about your latest book. A review on Us. The reviewer says he takes a unique, speaking of you, of course, he takes a unique angle by focusing on the idea of us rather than you and me. It's all about moving beyond the blame game and getting curious about how we can truly show up in relationships. There's a lot of practical advice here, but it doesn't feel heavy or preachy. The tone is conversational, and there are plenty of real life examples that make all of us think, oh, that sounds familiar. Some high praise.
Great review, yeah. I take that person out for lunch. hey, you want a story? I love to tell stories.
I love to hear stories.
All right, ready?
Yep.
One of my clients told me, he said on his wedding day, his brand new father-in-law, you know, they're in their tuxedos, and he says, son, let's go for a walk. I got something to tell you. Okay, they're out for a walk. So listen, I got two things to tell you. You master these two things, and your marriage is going to be great. Just these two things alone. So, okay, Pops, I'll bite. What are they? He said, you're really sorry, and you're going to work on it.
Is that one thing or two things?
That's two things. I'm really sorry, and I'm going to work on it. You know what? We're all imperfect. And our imperfections are disappointing to each other. That's good. How we handle that is the guts, the character of our relationship. But man, we need some education and tools because you didn't learn how to handle yourself well in your family and you didn't learn in this culture. So, okay, learn. And you can do it. You know, standing up for yourself without harshness, but with love, works so much better.
But Terry,
saying you're sorry instead of I'm sorry, but the things that, and please come to my website and learn some of these skills. The things that we teach, they just work better. So try it out and see.
What is a technique to de-escalate a fight or, you know, discussion that's gotten a little bit out of control when people aren't as mature and reasonable as they will learn to be after going to your website? What is a quick way to de-escalate and to keep things in perspective?
Two things. One you, one them. You, take a break. I'm a big fan of breaks. Get into the part of you that wants to make things better. There are less mature parts of you that can grab hold of the steering wheel and make a mess of things. Well, get centered. I call it remembering love. Remember the person you're talking to is the person you care about, and the reason why you're talking is to make things better. If you're not there, which is fine, we all, you know, lose our... If you're not there, that's fine, but go for a walk around the block. Negotiate it. I'm taking the time out. I'll be back. So if you're escalated and or your partner's escalated, take a break. Don't keep batting your head against the wall. That's one. Two, if you want to de-escalate your partner, you ready?
Yeah.
I have a saying, this is mostly for guys. I can de-escalate an angry, upset woman in 30 seconds, 50% of the time. But that's better than you're doing. You want to know what the secret is?
Yes.
Give her what she wants.
That's great advice.
That is good advice. What a way to end our time with Terry Real today. This has been really enlightening, and I think people really want to get to your website. Give your website, because I know you have a couple of them. So give your website, and also we'll talk about your Instagram account, which is at Real Terry Real. Real Terry Real. But which website do you think people can get the most out of?
Is this my name? TRRYREAL, terryreal.com. And I think we have a little giveaway that we're going to be offering people too. So come and learn a few things about how to get this done.
You heard that right here on Gervie's Law, a giveaway. Get to Terry Real's website and find out what the giveaway is. I'm going to it, and I know my wife will for sure. She's a huge fan of yours. Terry, thanks so much.
I like to say my books appear under guys' pillows all over.
I'm sure they do. Thanks for being with us. We've really enjoyed having you, Terry.
A lot of fun. Thank you both.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week for a special edition of Gervie's Law.